So we're in a series called Ghost Stories. Today I want to just preach a message on what I call Haunted Heart. Haunted Heart. So it's based on this scripture, 1 Corinthians 3:16. If you got an outline, it's right there, key scripture. All of you surely know that you are God's temple and that His Spirit lives in you. Now let's pray. Father God, we thank You. We praise You, Lord, that You love us, that You care for us, Lord, and You really are our Father who is in heaven. Lord, we thank You for being a good Father. And Lord, we pray that our hearts would be open and receptive, our minds would be receptive to the things that Your Word has to say to us today. Lord, let us apply it to our lives, Lord, and lead us through the week. In Your mighty name, Jesus, amen. Well, we are God's temple, and the Spirit is living in us if we have given ourselves over to Jesus, right? We've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We've confessed Him publicly that He rose from the dead, that we believe it in our heart. And that's what it's about, right? Being a Christian. That's just the beginning, right? But when we were younger, I think, at one time or another heard ghost stories or told ghost stories. And when we get saved and we become a Christian, that's kind of foolishness, but there is a ghost story to be told in our lives, and that's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost in our lives. And as Christians, we should have more than just one ghost story. More than just one Holy Ghost story. A lot of it, we go back to being saved in that time, and that's a great ghost story, and that's a great testimony to being saved, but it goes beyond that. It goes beyond that. It's your whole life. You serving God is exciting. It gets you out of the comfort zone in many ways. If we are led by the Holy Ghost, He will take us out of our comfort zone. And I really think, in a way, that applies to ghost stories in general or haunted houses. And in a haunted house, it's like people pay to be taken out of their comfort zone and actually frightened. And I don't recommend that for you, okay? As Christians, we don't glorify that. But there's pictures of these places where you actually can buy a picture when they get scared and, you know, they've got people screaming and everything else. You know, it's kind of funny at first, but you look at that and it's like, what in the world? But we, as Christians, have the Holy Ghost living in us, and He wants to bring us out of our comfort zone. He doesn't want to scare us out of our comfort zone. He just wants to take us out of our comfort zone to do something exciting in our lives. And that's what the Holy Ghost does. Now, the word haunted in the dictionary, this is one definition, is inhabited or frequented by ghost or ghosts. And that's what haunted means. Inhabited or frequented by ghost. Now, that's something to think about, especially as Christians, what that might mean to us. But Jesus said something about things, how our heart could be haunted in a different way, and how the world can allow their heart to be haunted. And in Mark 7:21, He says, "Now, for from within, out of a person's heart, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these vile things come from within. They are what defile you." Now, that's a heart that's haunted in a whole different way. That's not the Holy Ghost type of inhabitation there. That's a heart haunted by evil things. And you can let your heart get filled up with a lot of different things. And if it's not from God, well, these are the kind of things that it may be. And it's real easy. And it comes so, sometimes so easily or so naturally, and just kind of slips in there. It's kind of like when you're going through all season, you think you're taking care of your house, you're cleaning everything, and you don't have a lot of stuff, but walleye season comes around, and all of a sudden you start taking inventory of what can go. I don't know if you guys do that. We do that, and we have a general rule. If it's been around for at least a year and it hasn't been moved or used, then it needs to go. And so that we kind of take inventory once a year at our house. Well, if you don't take inventory of your heart all the time, then it may surprise you what's in there. It may surprise. And your heart can be haunted by all those different things, but your heart could be haunted, like, for example, by a lie. And in Acts 5:3, it says, Peter said, "And Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? You have not lied to men, but to God." See, when we have other things in our heart, we can tend to have a heart against God. Our heart could be dirty or haunted in a way that's not pleasing to God. And this happens so... We're hard on Ananias and Sapphira, but and rightfully so, but it happens so gradually, probably. We read it in just a few verses. But what happened was the church was all getting together. Everyone was one with another. There was a lot of harmony, and everyone was helping each other. And many people, wealthier people, were selling their land and giving the whole thing to the church. And I can just see it. They had something up front where they bring it all up front, and here's what we give, and here's it. And that's all great if it's done with the right heart. But Ananias and Sapphira might have had something start creeping in their heart at that time. Like they might have wanted attention for their gifts. And so they sold some property. Maybe they shouldn't have. Maybe they should have. I don't know. But they sold some property, and the property was valuable. But instead of taking the whole amount, which it was totally up to them, God gave them the choice to give whatever. And they decided that we're just going to take a portion, but we're going to say we gave the whole thing. Now, it wasn't because they didn't give the whole thing that there was a sin in their heart, there was a lie in their heart. It was just how they went about doing it. And so they kind of got lured into saying they gave it all, but really not. And that's how the sin just crept in their heart. It can happen real easy. And we can say we gave our whole heart to God and hold some back. And we don't want to be in that spot. We want to give our whole heart to the Lord. We want to be open to the Lord. We don't want to lie to God. Another one is a heart haunted by lust. Now, this can happen real easy in itself. Matthew 5:28, Jesus says, "I say anyone who even looks at a woman with lust." Now, women, you can look at a man in lust too, so this applies to you. "Anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart." So right there, so easy, so grand. You can just watch some commercials today. I can think of some commercials that maybe will take your mind and your heart in that direction if you let it. You could just be out and some people dress modestly, that's the world. And so you got to keep your eyeballs focused on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus, right? Not on that person. Oh, wow, they're looking good. Someone once told me that the first look is free, but the second look will cost you. And so you got to be careful with your eyes that you don't allow lust to come in your heart, because your heart can be haunted by lust, by an unclean spirit even. If you go that far, if you start going into a whole realm of you're looking at stuff on the internet and you're looking at certain sites that you know full well you shouldn't be looking at, let alone just a picture of somebody or somebody just walking down the street, hey, you have now just opened up the door. And it's like you're opening up the door to your heart, and you're asking for it to be haunted by something else. And that's not a good place to be in either. There's also a heart haunted by jealousy. Acts 5:17. The high priest and his officials, who were Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. Now, they seen that a lot of the people in Jerusalem, in the whole area, were really, I mean, Jesus has been killed. He has risen from the dead. They don't want to admit that, most of them. And he has ascended to the Father. And the apostles now, his disciples, are still preaching the good word and healing people in the name of Jesus. And that right there in itself is proving to everyone Jesus is the Son of God, because people are even being healed in his name. And these religious people haul them in and they threaten Peter. And they tell him, hey, don't you dare speak in that name again. They won't even mention the name. You know, think about that. In our culture, people are afraid to mention the name of Jesus. That's a sign. But Peter said, I'm not going to listen to what you have to say, because the Lord's already told me. He's already told me, and I'm not going to stop speaking the name of Jesus. And their hearts were filled with jealousy, just because they were winning all the people to the Lord, and they were left out. Like, hey, this is bad. Religion is dying. And you know what? That's the way the Lord wants it. The Lord doesn't want religion. He wants a relationship with you.
Hallelujah.
He wants a relationship with you. But when that happens, be careful. Religious people may get jealous. They may get jealous. And that can easily come in. That can come in different ways. Not just religious people, but other people. You can have jealousy and envy and pride come into your heart really easy if you're not careful. If you're not careful, it can sneak in, and you don't want that to happen. So many of us, we might have some skeletons in our closet. We might have some ghosts in our past. And we have to be really careful on what we allow to come in our heart, because there's a haunted heart in one way, and then there's a haunted heart in another way. We don't want the wrong things to inhabit our heart. We want to be careful with that. And God wants to make sure you know that you shouldn't be afraid. Don't be afraid to open your heart to the Holy Ghost. Don't be afraid to open your heart to the Holy Ghost. Now, this matters, and someone needs to hear that today. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." God hasn't given us a spirit of fear.
Hallelujah.
Now, God is an awesome God, and we should respect him, just like you would respect that outlet right there, that electrical outlet, and not just stick a knife in there. We should respect God as all-powerful. He's a creator. And there is a fear of the Lord that's a healthy fear. But God doesn't want us to be afraid of him, to have for us to have a relationship with him, for us to let him into our heart. And here's where the problem comes in. Your heart might have been beat up by the world. Your heart might have been beat up by someone who had those bad things in their heart. Hurt people hurt people. And your heart might have been wounded, might have been hurt. And therefore, when that happens, you might have been abused. You might have been hurt in different ways. And when that happens, we have a tendency not to put up the walls and not to let anyone get close to our heart. And what God is saying to us is he doesn't want you to be afraid of him. See, there are such things as unclean spirits or unclean ghosts. There are demons. There are bad people that are influenced by the enemy. But God is saying there is a Holy Ghost. There's a Holy Spirit. He's the third part of the Trinity. And he wants to come into your life, and he wants to have a relationship, and he wants all of your heart. He wants to come in there and move out that old stuff. You think about a haunted house, and you always see a picture of this old raggedy house that hasn't been taken care of and is about falling down, and that qualifies for a haunted house. And we can let our hearts get to beyond the point where we think it's beyond the point of being fixed, beyond the point, and they're falling down, they're caving in, but God wants you to know that he still wants to move in. He will fix it up. He wants to inhabit your house. He wants to inhabit your heart. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Because what it comes down to is, it's really hard to love somebody or even love yourself if you don't first receive the love from God and allow him. And you're not really going to receive that love. Even though you're loved, even though everyone here is loved by God, you're not going to fully receive that love or understand that love until you open up your heart. And I want to read what Jesus said in Mark 12:30. He says, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." And all of us are sitting here going, how can you possibly do that? Right? Maybe some say, hey, yeah, I am. But the world will say, how can I possibly love someone that much? Before you have a child, you just don't really understand how you can love somebody else. And then you have a child, and it's like, wow, I just love my kid, you know. And then it's like, if we have another child, we just can't possibly love that child that much. I mean, come on. You kind of like leftover love. But then you have the second child, and it's like, you love that child just as much, don't you? So there's a lot of things about love we don't quite understand until we experience something.
Right.
Yeah, until we experience God coming in, we're not really going to understand how can we love him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. How can we possibly do that? Well, it only comes through the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost coming in to do something new in your heart. That's how it happens. And you don't quite get it, and it's like, oh my gosh, this is the law. I can't handle this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. By the way, that is the law. But the law of God is super, super simple. Love God, love people, right? That's the whole Bible all wrapped up. And if you want to say the law, that's the whole Bible all wrapped up. That's love God, love people. So I want to share with you three things on how to have your heart inhabited by the Holy Ghost. Now, how to have a haunted heart, but haunted by the Holy Ghost, inhabited by the Holy Ghost. Are you guys ready? Who's ready? Okay. Who's ready? Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
All right. The first thing is ask the Holy Ghost to search your heart. Ask the Holy Ghost to search your heart. The Holy Ghost, sometimes we don't want to take inventory, and we got to turn that over to somebody else that knows what they're doing. And the Holy Ghost knows exactly what he's doing. In Psalm 139, 23, and 24, the psalmist says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life." Now, there's times where we can't search our heart all by ourselves because we got a biased eye. You know that? We will overlook stuff that we know is wrong. Yes, it will happen. So we got to let the Holy Spirit do it. And it's a lot like traveling. When travelers go through the airport, they put their bags on a conveyor belt, and the bags go through what I call an x-ray machine, and someone sits there and looks at the baggage going through. Now you got to even walk your body through this big old thing, and they can actually see under your clothes and stuff like that. And they're looking, they're checking. And that person looks for something in the bags or on your person that doesn't belong. And if they see a metal object, maybe it looks like a knife or something else that's questionable, guess what they're going to do? They're going to pull the bag owner off to the side and go through their belongings. And it's always a big rush, and it's, you know, you got everyone behind you, and guess what? Everyone gets to see what's in your bag that's standing around. Oh, wow, whoa, I can't believe that. And then they will get anything out of the bag that does not belong. Oh, you can't have this. And guess what? If you want to get on that plane, you're going to have to leave that behind. You can't take it with you. And so the traveler is free to make their trip as long as they don't have anything in their bag that doesn't belong. Well, the Holy Ghost does the same thing, doesn't he? He will go through our hearts. And sometimes we may wonder why it takes so long for us to break through that line and just get on the plane or have that breakthrough. But it's because the Holy Ghost is going through the baggage in our heart. And there's times we don't want him to see things. It's like we're just not, hey, I don't want to. And what it really is we don't want to see it ourselves. Because he sees it. And he's trying to show it to us. And he may have picked up something in your heart that doesn't belong there. And the Holy Ghost isn't going to travel with anyone that has something in their heart that doesn't belong. He just isn't going to go on that ride. He isn't going to go on that ride to that porn site. He isn't going to go on that ride hanging out with those people at that place you shouldn't be at. He isn't on that ride of having that conversation with gossiping, and he isn't along for that ride. He isn't going to go on that ride. So we have to ask the Holy Ghost to search our hearts, and make sure the right things are in them. Are you following?
Yes.
All right. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. The second thing is allow the Holy Ghost to make your heart new. Allow the Holy Ghost to make your heart new. Psalm 51, 10 and 11 says, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Create in me a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart. And all of us can relate to this in one way or another. Everyone here probably does dishes. And you don't just, when you do dishes, you just don't clean out the inside of a glass, right? And leave the outside dirty. That'd be gross, you know, wouldn't it? For your guests or whatever. So you don't do that. Or even for yourself. You want to make sure that the inside is washed, the inside and the outside is washed too, right? You want both of them to be washed. Otherwise, there won't be a lot of benefit in washing your dishes, right? So when you clean the inside, you want the outside to match. Having a clean inside and a dirty outside cancels out the point of doing dishes. That just comes right down to it. There's even people that put dishes in dishwasher, and they get done, they're washed, but they have these water spots. And guess what they'll do? They'll go buy some different detergent, wash them again. So we all know that. So how does that apply to this? Well, when you give your life to Jesus, when you give your heart to Jesus, God washes clean that heart with the blood of Jesus. It's like the Holy Spirit goes in with the scrub brush, and his suds and his detergent is the blood of Jesus from Emmanuel's veins. We sang it this morning. And he goes in and scrubs your heart clean with the blood of Jesus, and your heart is cleansed from all sins, And that's what happens. But many Christians want God to cleanse their heart and clean the inside, but they themselves neglect the outside and leave it dirty. See, let your lives, both inside and outside, both private and public, be clean. Let the outside of your life match the inside of your heart and what you're letting the Holy Ghost do in there, what you have let the blood of Jesus wash. Ask God to clean the inside, but don't neglect the outside. All right? Don't neglect the outside. Sometimes we put that all on God to do our dirty dishes, to clean up our dirty heart, and we don't do anything about it. That's the point I'm trying to make. We have to come along with the Holy Ghost and allow him to show us what he's cleaning and why it needs to be cleaned. Be open to that. Be open to that. Let the Holy Ghost make a new heart for you. Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27 says it like this: "And I will give you a new heart, and I'll put a new spirit in you. I'll take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. And I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations." Right there it is. I mean, way back in the Old Testament, God was telling his prophet that there's going to come a day where he's going to come inside his people and he's going to change their hearts. He's going to give them a new heart. Now, a stony heart sounds pretty cold, doesn't it? Especially this time of year coming up. Stony heart sounds cold. Stony heart is cold. It reminds me of a young couple that faced their first winter in their new home. And temperatures began to drop. And the house became too cool for comfort. And it's like it just gets beyond the point of wanting to save money on the consumer bill and being able to be comfortable because it's just too cold. And it was time to turn up that thermostat and get some heat going in the house. But when they did, and they walked over to the thermostat and went and turned it, guess what? Nothing happened. There was no heat. So they were like, well, what's wrong? Well, let's call the heating contractor. And a heating contractor showed up, and the heating guy diagnosed the problem rather quickly. And they were bracing themselves. Oh, my goodness, it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. We're probably going to need a new furnace. We're going to need everything. And so they're bracing themselves for the bad news. But they were surprised when this heating guy told them that it wouldn't be that much. See, the diagnosis was they just needed their igniter to be replaced. And he explained how the igniter worked, how when you turn the thermostat up, it sends a signal, a low voltage signal, to electrical power, a 120 power, and that power then sends a signal to the igniter, which 120 heats up that igniter, which then when that igniter is hot, the gas valve opens, natural gas comes out, and that igniter ignites that gas, and bam, voila, a flame. And the house gets warm. You don't have to cut the wood. You don't have to do anything. And so that's how it works. And many people wonder how they have all the power available to them, but yet they live such cold and miserable lives. See, that igniter just needed to be powered. And when an igniter fails, it's because the power is not going through it. That's the signal. And their igniter, for the people that have cold and miserable lives, their igniter just isn't working. And when the igniter isn't working, it doesn't matter how much power you have available. You could have a whole house full, a whole box, a whole panel, 100-amp panel full of power. It's not going to matter. See, when we come to faith in Jesus, we have all the power we need. Old things pass away, all things become new. All right? You get new parts. See, God gives us a new start by forgiveness of our sin. He gives us a new conscience. He gives us a new heart. A new heart. The Holy Ghost comes in and replaces that broken, stony, cold heart, and he puts in a new heart. The Holy Ghost comes in and replaces what's broken, so your flame will be ignited. Now, many people don't have a flame. Their igniter's not working because they're not allowing the Holy Ghost to replace the old igniter. That's what's happening. So we have to allow the Holy Ghost to make our hearts new by replacing what isn't working. And we have to allow him to do that. Allow the Holy Ghost to do that. He doesn't do it if we don't want it. Just like that heating contractor, he's not going to replace the part unless the people are willing for that part to be replaced. You have to allow the Holy Ghost to do that. The third thing is, accept the new covenant and let the Holy Ghost write on your heart. Accept the new covenant and let the Holy Ghost write on your heart. Hebrews 8:10 says it like this, "But this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds, and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people." See, he puts his laws in our minds and writes them on our heart. Now, that word laws, that sounds like bad for many people, right? What that's saying is he puts his word in our minds and in our hearts. And you know what? When he does that, it changes everything. You don't wonder why. How can I love the Lord my God with all my heart and all my soul and all my strength, all my mind? How can I do that? It's not in your power. See, when Jesus forgives you of your sin, he gives you all the power you need, but you still have to flick the switch. You still have to allow that power to go to that part that hopefully is being replaced, that you're letting be replaced. And there's something new about that part. It's got a new number. It's got a new serial number on it. He's going to write a new thing on your heart. He's going to write his laws, his word on your heart. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, it says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. That's how it happens. We can't go through life and not sin. It's not in our nature. We just can't do it. But God gives us the power to be able to. He writes that on our hearts. So what we have to do is we can move from our heart being haunted by things of the past, the hurts, the pains, the wounds, and maybe some sin that we're in. We can remain in that sin and we can let that haunt our hearts to such a point to where it's like we think we're beyond being able to repair it, be able to be repaired. But God wants to fix us. He wants to use us. He wants our flame to be lit in us, and he wants us to burn for him. And when we're burning for Jesus, guess what? We don't have that stony heart. And you know what else happens is others around us begin to warm up. When we let God come in, when we let the Holy Ghost come in and inhabit our heart. So here's what I put before you today is Acts 8:21 and part of 23, your heart is not right before God. Change your heart. And so if your heart is not right before God, you have to make the decision that you want it changed. You have to make that decision. The Holy Ghost will come in and change everything when he inhabits your heart. And sometimes even Christians, after allowing the Holy Spirit to come in, we sometimes start putting things that shouldn't be in our hearts there. And the Holy Spirit's saying, hey, I'm not going on this ride. I'm not taking this flight with you. But we're still in a hurry and we're still going in the same direction. What we got to do is we got to stop. And we got to let him take out of our hearts whatever there is to have that heart change. So turn away from evil thoughts and pray to the Lord and maybe he'll forgive you. It's interesting how that's worded. Turn away from these evil thoughts and pray to the Lord. Maybe he will forgive you. Now, you know why that is? You know why the Word of God says it that way? Because it's not automatic if you don't mean it. This isn't just a saying you can grab a hold of and say, yep, I'm saved, I'm forgiven, and without really doing it, without really opening your heart to the Holy Ghost, without really opening your heart to God. And so we always got to take that inventory and make sure our hearts are right with him. So let's stand up, stretch out. Come on, you guys are sounding really quiet here. Let's stretch, and we're going to get ready to just have a healthy heart. Amen. We want our hearts inhabited by the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
If they're going to be haunted, we want them haunted by the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So we got to think of what's going on. We got to take inventory and take action on our part. And not just expect God to do everything. There's a part for us to do too. So in just the next couple moments here, just close your eyes, bow your head, and ask the Holy Ghost, what is it that's in the back corner of your heart? What's hidden away in that bottom shelf behind the drawer, behind that crate, behind that door that's closed? What is that that's in there that shouldn't really be there? Where is that spot that's a little bit scary to go to for you? A little bit scary. Because there's something there that shouldn't belong there. Where is that spot? And I want you to just take that and surrender that to God. Surrender it to him.